Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. There's a saying in NLP that the only meaning a communication has is the interpretation we put upon it. Communication can be a minefield, as this week's guest makes clear in her latest book. Words mean something different to each person based on preconceived beliefs coded into our worldview. With so much contradictory, emotionally charged, and frankly untrustworthy information coming at us from so many different directions these days, returning to our inner wisdom is essential. But how do we do that? The answer, says Dr. Cynthia Andrews, lies in communicating from a deeper level, one based on subtle energy, which allows us to bypass the bias and trauma coded in the words we use. Cynthia Andrews, ND, is a licensed naturopathic doctor and an energy intuitive, a writer, teacher, author, and co-author of 8 books on energy, healing, and consciousness. She taught for 15 years at the Connecticut Center for Massage Therapy and in the Bodywork School at the Kripalu Yoga Institute. She joins me now to discuss her latest book, Subtle Energy Work, Meditative Exercises for Healing, Self-Care, and Inner Balance, which explains why learning to consciously interact with subtle energy is the next step, not just in communication, but in personal and planetary transformation. Dr. Cynthia Andrews, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy, and thank you for having me here today. I'm really excited to talk with you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Cynthia. Now, Subtle Energy Work is the second edition of your earlier book, The Path of Energy, which I've recommended so often. I made it one of my No BS Spiritual Book Club rare bookworms. So I'm curious to know, what could you possibly add to the first edition to improve it?
Well, that's a good question. Mostly, you know, it's kind of funny. Michael Pye, who was the acquisition editor at New Page Book for Red Wheel Wiser, came and suggested that we do a second edition. And I asked myself the same question, what can I possibly add to it? And what I realized is that right now we are really at this crossroads, and you just explained it very well. And when I thought about it, the crossroads really is depicted in Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared, where we understand that energy and matter are complementary parts of the same whole, and that both have equal agency in reality. But we tend to focus on the material side of that equation. And I think that the crossroads we're at is coming to an awareness that the energetic side has just as much agency in the material world as the material side does, or in reality as a whole. And then once we really make a commitment to that idea of energetic agency, then the question becomes, how do we use energy in a conscious way? Because we're using it unconsciously all the time. All the time, our thoughts, our attention are creating an avenue for energy to flow and creating outcomes. And so how can we be more conscious of those outcomes? And that was really what made me decide, yes, it's time to add to this book. And one of the main things I wanted to add to was that in this transformation, in this commitment to becoming more energy sensitive, there are costs involved in that. Our nervous system isn't necessarily prepared and ready for what it is that we're going towards. And so the people at the front edge of that wave, who we may call more empathic than some of the rest of us, have had a lot to deal with. And so I wanted to kind of address that in the book.
It's interesting, isn't it? As we have, changed the way we communicate with the internet, more and more we're hearing about people who are energetically sensitive. And if there's one place where there's a lot of energy thrown around, it is the internet and social media.
Isn't that the case? And, you know, the thing that's interesting to me about that is that once you take the subtle energy and you use electric energy as a carrier wave, it changes it. And it becomes, you know, there's been a lot of studies done about how destructive to cellular energy all of this electronics is and all of these electromagnetic frequencies are. And so in some ways, we're actually harming life force by marrying it to this electric wave.
Well, there's the other side of that as well. I mean, there's many people who are saying that the digitization, you know, of information and the way that we are receiving it in such short bursts is literally rewiring our brain.
Yeah, I think that that's true. I think the whole science of neuroplasticity shows that to be true.
Yeah. Now, you say that subtle energy is the substance of reality and the vehicle of consciousness. Tell us a little bit about subtle energy information and how we receive it.
So all around us all the time, we're in this sea of energy information. It's coming to us in all different frequencies. And so our bodies are designed to receive these frequencies. I mean, our eyes receive a certain level of frequency, our ears, and then we have these energy structures in the body that are receiving these more expanded frequencies and metabolizing them into information our body can use. And so I don't remember who dubbed it this, but we kind of call it the ambiance. And in the ambiance is all of this information, which our body is receiving. And it metabolizes it into emotions, into body sensations, into gut feelings and intuitions and knowings. And those things are this new language that we really have to pay attention to, because those are the things that are receiving the truer information as opposed to what someone says or what they want you to believe.
Well, but, you know, you say that we're also hardwired to navigate this. We've just forgotten. What have we forgotten?
We've forgotten our bodies. We got so involved in our minds, we forgot our heart, we forgot our body. And I'm not saying the mind is a bad thing, it's just been out of balance, in the same way that our focus on matter has imbalanced our understanding of that equation. Our focus on the mind has brought us out of the body and out of the wisdom of the body, which means it's brought us out of the heart. And the heart is the seat of the soul. The heart is where we connect with our spirit.
Yeah. So why do you say that learning to consciously interact with subtle energy is the next step in our personal and planetary transformation? I mean, if we already know how to do this and we just need to remember it, why is it the next step?
Because right now we are so governed by the traumas of the past and how that is coded into our body that we are not getting clear messages. And I talk about, you know, that as language. So I'll just tell you the quick story of my horse, because I love my horse. But you know, I have a Native American friend who is very often saying that we can't wake up using the same language that put us to sleep. And I always thought I kind of understood that to mean that the way that the language that we use defines how we construct our view of reality. And that kind of made sense to me. And I think that is true. But what my horse taught me is that it's actually much deeper than that. And so I take horses in that are not suitable for many people, and I try and work with them. And mostly what I have found is with horses is that if they just feel safe, everything is fine. So this little anxious Appaloosa comes in, who is so hypersensitive. She jumps through doorways, convinced something is going to get her. She doesn't want people touching her. She nips. She acts like she's going to kick. If you talk to her, she flinches. If you're riding her and you just squeeze a little bit, she jumps forward. And I began to realize that she was just really hypersensitive, that talking felt like shouting and little touches felt like she was being hit. And so I started trying to be softer and softer and softer, thinking that that would solve the problem. And it didn't. It's like just simply the cues I was using for her were coded in so much trauma that the cue itself was the trauma. And so we had to develop a new language, and that language was based on energy. Instead of squeezing my legs to ask her to go forward, I'd send my energy forward and then she'd follow. Instead of asking her to stop by pulling on the reins, I'd send my energy into the ground and she'd stop. Like, we had to find a whole new way of communicating with each other. And I had an excellent teacher helping me, which I was very lucky for. And it made me realize that all of the things that are going on right now, in terms of our miscommunications, are related to the fact that the words we use don't mean the same thing. They're coded in trauma, and it triggers something in us that we can't consciously get out of unless we're willing to let go of our story, unless we're willing to clear the trauma from our body and ourselves.
Yeah, words have been so, I don't know what the word is to describe it, but I feel like they've been so weakened, you know, and we attribute so many different meanings these days to all kinds of words, you know, with slang, etc. And they lose their magic, they lose their power.
It's very true. And some words have just been stolen, you know. They've just been stolen and given new definitions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about, you know, we're talking about words here, a language, but you talk about subtle energy as a language. And clearly this is a new language that we have to remember, or a new language that we have to become, you know, adept at if we're going to, you know, work with one another or even just navigate the world as we move forward.
Yes. And so when I look at how I worked with pebbles and, you know, how I use my energy as a communication tool, I think we have to do that with each other. It's before our words come out, we make a connection, and that connection is happening regardless of whether we're aware of it. But if we're not aware of it, that connection has a lot of defensive energy in it. It has a lot of, you know, trying to suss things out. But if we're aware of it, we can just make a heart-to-heart connection and then allow energy to flow. And then when that energy flows, what comes out of it?
Well, it would be so much easier, wouldn't it? I mean, because you think about, we use words, we talk to one another, but the tone of voice, and some people cannot help their tone of voice, but it can really upset other people. I remember someone saying to me a while back, you know, the internet, the only purpose of the internet, actually it was Professor Bill Tiller, the only purpose of the internet is to get us ready for telepathic communication.
You know, that's an interesting thing, because I do feel like the internet represents this interconnectivity that we theorize and talk about and visualize, and the internet has kind of made that very real.
So how can subtle energy be a language that is free of preconceptions?
So as soon as we decide that we're going to work with subtle energy, it implies a responsibility to clear our own bodies of trauma. It implies that we can no longer just work out of our habitual conditioned responses, that we have to begin to own the trauma that's happened in our life and how we responded to that, and clear it from our system. So that's really how we get rid of the preconceptions. And then we have access to all that information that's coming in through the ambiance, through our energy structures, and being translated into these body sensations and knowings. And then we have access to that in a clean way.
Now, I remember you once saying to me that emotions are the language of subtle energy, and accessing emotions is the key to the awareness of subtle energy and the doorway into higher consciousness.
That is absolutely true. And, you know, of all the books I've written, probably the least recognized as The Path of Emotions, but for me, that's the key book. That is the one. We don't use emotions very well, and we think of them as something we have to control and something that we have to get on top of and use our mind to manage. But in reality, so I studied with Iona Marcia Teagarden, who created the bodywork system of Jin Shindo body mind acupressure. And one of the things that she taught is that emotions are information and the energy to do something with that information. And if you look at emotions that way, every single emotion is giving you really key information about the ambiance around you. It's been, and your inner life as well. It's all being metabolized through these energy structures. And at the same time, it's giving you this real boost of energy. So you can take that information, whether you're walking down the street and you suddenly feel the hairs prickle and you have a sense of fear and enough energy to run down the street, or whether you're in a board meeting getting ready to sign a contract and you have butterflies in your stomach and a resistance that you don't understand, and step back and say, well, wait, we'll do this tomorrow, and get the rest of the information that we need. It's like our emotions are constantly giving us the information that we need to proceed according to what's happening on a subtle energy level, if we pay attention.
And our emotions may be warning us about the things that are happening around us, but sometimes it's really hard to say, I'm not going to deal with this now. Let's come back tomorrow. I mean, in a business setting,
Very hard. So yeah. So then maybe you go into it with the awareness that this might not work out the way I wanted to, even though I'm in a corner and have to make the sign. And so when you leave, you begin to take the steps that you need to take to make the outcome as good as it can be.
Yeah. So tell me about the principles and the practices and the exercises in the book that you say can help us clear our preconceptions.
So when I work with people energetically, what I notice is that most people have relationships of energy with their aura and their chakras and their meridians that are along predetermined pathways from their path, in the same way that we have neurocircuitry that has, because we've used it over and over and over again, this is the pathway that is the easiest to access. And that means that we automatically kind of screen out different frequencies. And I do believe that we are in a time where we are being exposed to expanded frequencies. And the reason that I say that is because of the work that my husband and I did researching the Mayan calendars quite a while ago. And the Maya believe very interestingly that the times that we're in are not determined by our behavior, but our behavior is determined by the times that we're in. And the times that we're in are determined by where we are in the galaxy and what planetary and celestial events are interacting with Earth and creating the frequency environment of Earth. And so as we head through the galaxy towards the center of the Milky Way, which is where they say the creative force resides, we're encountering more expanded frequencies. And I honestly feel that that has a lot to do with the disruption that we're experiencing right now, that these expanded frequencies are really shaking up our energy fields, and all the traumas are kind of coming to the surface and we're having to deal with them. I think I just completely lost the thread of the question that you asked.
Well, you may have lost the thread of that, but you've raised some very interesting points here, because, I'm a great fan of Carl Kellerman's work and have had many conversations with him about, global consciousness and the ninth wave of creation. Mm-hmm. And, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I do believe that we are in a new wave of consciousness, and people are experiencing this, they feel the energy of it, but they don't understand it, and they're not necessarily conscious of it. And it can create a lot of conflict, I think, within people, because it's entirely new. But you said something then about what the Mayans believed, and one of the things that I think Carl said was that, you know, we are the ones that are shaping this all the time. You know, the global mind is influenced by us and we're influenced by it. So mm-hmm. it is a kind of symbiotic thing going on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think that's one of the most important things about subtle energy and becoming more aware of it, is that then we become aware that our presence is the creative force we offer, that our perception, our awareness, our presence is creatively involved in the universe. I mean, if you go back to the double slit experiments, that's what it was proving, that the not only that the observer affects the outcome, but that it affects the outcome from the future to the past, which I think is mind-blowing.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. And you do see that in some work with people. I mean, in NLP, I've seen when someone goes through a certain process, you know, other things change, you know, as if they'd never happened before.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And now you're reminding me of the thread. Okay, so what this book does, so we have these constructs of how we work with energy, and what this book does is offer 13 what you might call activations or meditations that help restructure your energetic construction so that you can experience different states of frequency. And so then you can choose, then you're free to make choices out of your habituated way of feeling and experiencing the world. And everything else in the book, all the different suggestions, and they are, you know, like there is no map to this stuff. We discover it as we go. All we can do is learn from each other's experience, try it out and see if it works for us. And there is no right or wrong. There's only information. So we're just gaining information each time we try something. So the book is really a guide to experiments that you can do with energy in all different levels.
Well, I know that when we come back from our break, you're going to, you know, lead us through a meditation that's going to help us with that. Before we go to the break, I want to talk about the science, because, you know, you've talked a little bit about the slit experiment there. And one of the things you've always said is that energy medicine is where science meets magic. You know, what we're learning with quantum science is it's kind of unfurling so quickly, we can barely keep up with it. Mm-hmm. What new science are you aware of around subtle energy?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. There is no direct science that measures subtle energy in the same way that 100 years ago, there was no direct science that understood radio waves. You know, we're coming into that awareness. But I think for me, what is most extrapolative outside of quantum theory, of course, is this idea of dark energy and dark matter, which is the scaffolding of reality, and yet it can't be seen, it can't be measured, it can't be felt or touched in any way. And that to me is the exact representation of subtle energy, something that we know by the experience of it, not by anything that we measure or see or, you know, define. But we can experience it. And that's the key.
it's absolutely fascinating to me that, you know, two guys, I think it's two of them, have recently won the Nobel Prize. It's about something that you can't prove.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, it's like, here's a prize, even though you can't prove it.
And we're saying that it's 5%. Everything that we see, everything that we know and can measure is 5% of reality, and everything else is unknowable.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, when the mind starts to boggle, where does one go?
Into the heart, I guess, right? Into just the direct heartfelt experience of life. And that is the bottom line to me for subtle energy, is that it brings us into awareness of connection, and connection is everything. And whether you're connecting with the flow of energy from a tree, which is very delicious, or the flow of energy from another person or a spiritual source, it's that flow, it's that connection that lets us know, you know, that we belong to something so much bigger and so much more mysterious than our minds will ever really fully comprehend and understand.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break now. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is licensed naturopathic doctor, energy intuitive writer and teacher, Dr. Cynthia Andrews, who's the author and co-author of 8 books on energy, healing and consciousness, including her latest work, Subtle Energy Work, Meditative Exercises for Healing, Self-Care and Inner Balance, which we're discussing today. After the break, we'll hear about the 3 primary reasons people seek subtle energy awareness and a live meditation exercise that incorporates practices essential to successfully working with subtle energy. Stay tuned.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked, what's really worth reading and what's not? So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who've walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees and no BS, just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus 3 book excerpts, audios and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club? Get inspired and save money at the No BS SpiritualBookClub.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Dr. Cynthia Andrews, you say there are 3 primary reasons that people seek subtle energy awareness. What are they?
Yeah, maybe there's 4, but the primary reason that people come, and maybe this is just because I'm a naturopathic doctor, but the primary reason is for healing, that people want to have, want to work with their health in a different way. And I think that it is through that experience that people get opened up into altered states of mind. It's through that healing experience that their mind changes. And then the other reasons are for inner balance. And the other probably primary reason is to access inner wisdom. You know, people know that they have a greater capacity. They feel that sense of a greater capacity, but they feel this inability to quite access it, to find their path, to find their purpose, to walk it in a meaningful way. And so it's that search for meaning at a deeper level and connection. And then there's, you know, the wanting to manifest goals and wanting a way to manifest goals that has more harmony to it and has more integrity to it than often the ways in which we do that. And so I think that those are really the primary reasons, and those are things that, you know, I try and make sure that people get out of the book, that there is enough information about those things to proceed.
The book contains 13 meditations that activate patterns of light within our energy body. I'm always fascinated by activations. How can a meditation, hearing somebody speak certain words, how can that activate things within us?
Well, I think the very first principle of working with energy is the idea that energy follows awareness, it follows attention, and where you put your attention is where your energy flows. If your attention is scattered and all over the place, your energy is going to be scattered and it's going to follow patterned pathways. As soon as you begin to focus your mind and open up the doorway of different pathways, then you experience things differently. You become more focused and you become more aware of other things.
What do you find are the most important energy practices?
Without question, grounding, centering, and creating boundaries. And this is something that everybody knows, but we just really don't practice it enough. And yet, it's essential. If you're an energy facilitator, if you work with people facilitating energy healing and you don't ground and center and create boundaries, then you are endangering yourself and your clients. And through our daily life, it just changes how everything goes. I don't like to focus on picking up negative energies because I don't really believe that it happens that way. I don't really believe that there are negative energies, which is, I know, really not cool these days to say that, but there are energies that impact us in negative ways, but that's a different thing altogether. And when we're grounded and when we're centered and we're connected to our source, then that negativity is significantly decreased.
There are certainly energies that make us uncomfortable. And quite often we don't even know why it's making us uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. And discomfort is a growth edge.
Say more.
If we just stay where we're comfortable, the likelihood that we're going to grow is pretty minimal. It is true that we can grow from inspiration and we can become so inspired that a lot of things can change with us. But the truth is most of us grow through discomfort. Something becomes uncomfortable and the status quo can't be maintained. And so then we begin to shift and grow.
That's an interesting point. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you think about, friction being movement. Mm-hmm. As soon as something's uncomfortable, there's friction there and we want to get away from it. So there's the movement. So what types of activities can we engage using subtle energy awareness?
Pretty much anything. Whether you're clearing the space in your house so that everything is more alive, or whether you're interacting with your garden in a conscious way so that your plants grow better and there are more healing components in the herbs that you're involved with, whether you are trying to create something out in the world. And I do believe that the creative expression is a fundamental human drive. We need to create. It's as fundamental as the need to eat or breathe. And when we are obstructed in that ability to create, all kinds of frustrations and chaos happens inside of our body. And so finding that creative expression, finding a way to be meaningful in your life. And then, just Colin and I, my husband and I, really enjoy experimenting with things like telepathy, with remote viewing and figuring out, well, if I send my energy before you, can you follow it? If I send my energy here, can you follow that pathway? Or is it just for me? We play games. And I think that all of that is available through exploring subtle energy.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, you talked earlier about your horse And you said that you learned a new language of, you know, if you move your energy forward, the horse goes forward. What are you actually doing when you say moving my energy forward? Are you visualizing?
I'm putting my attention. I put my attention forward and then I allow my, it's a felt sense. It isn't something that you can describe with words from the mind because it's not happening in the mind. It's a felt sense in the body. I put my attention here and I feel myself forward. And then the horse follows. The horse says, oh, is that where we're going? Let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. So you can put your, yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, moving your attention. And it's interesting how people know when they're being observed.
Yes.
And it's because somebody else has put their attention on them and they are aware of that energy.
Yes, so they put their attention, their energy follows, your aura picks up their energy, it transmits it into your chakras say, ooh, your hair goes up on the back of your neck, and you turn around and you look directly into their eyes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so we must never ignore that, you know, that sense we get that we're being watched or something.
Yeah, you know, so what we call the felt senses, that feeling and awareness in our body is this, you know, the foundation of this new energy language and a, not new, but new to these times energy language.
Mm, yeah. So you said that you would take us through a meditation. Tell us about that. What exactly are we going to experience?
Well, I just thought that we would ground and center and create some boundaries since this is so essential and see how that goes.
Okay.
Shall we start?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so if everyone wants to just sit back and get comfortable, put your feet on the floor, soften your body. Take three deep cleansing breaths, and if it feels right, allow your eyes to close. And just notice your body. There's nothing to change. Just notice how supported do you feel by the couch underneath of you, by the floor your feet are on. How well do you receive support in your life? And as you're breathing, just imagine that you're breathing in through the top of your head, down through your body. And exhaling out into the earth. And on your next breath in, breathe in through your feet, up into your body, and out through the top of your head. At your own rate and your own rhythm, breathing the freedom and space of sky down into your body. Feeling yourself spacious and free, sending that into the earth. Breathing the stability and strength of earth up into your body. And offer that to sky. And become the balancing point between earth and sky. Relaxing any muscles that are holding on. And if it feels right, put one of your hands on your lower abdomen, on the Dandian, the Hara. And put the other hand on your heart. Or just focus your attention in those two places. And as you're breathe in through the earth and sky at the same time, filling up this space between your hands. And as you breathe out, let those energies between your hands merge and grow larger. Breathing in through the earth and the sky at the same time. Breathing out and merging those energy in your center. And you can relax and just let this happen naturally and easily. There's nothing to make happen. And sometimes in the area just under your breastbone, just under your heart chakra, you might feel an opening. A star-like energy. And that is your center. That is your core. And as you breathe in, earth and sky, your core grows brighter. And your core energy begins to fill the space around you, arms width around you in all directions. That's your personal space. That is the space that is your presence to the world. The first thing they encounter when they meet you. What does that space look like? What does it feel like? Is it a garden? Is it a desert? Fill that space with light and design it to reflect your inner core. Create a space that feels comfortable and alive for you, that protects and shelters you. And nobody can enter that space unless you invite them in. They can feel it. They can engage it, but they can't enter in unless you invite them. And knowing that this is always yours, the space goes with you everywhere, and your feet are connected to earth, and your crown is connected to sky. Bring yourself back into everyday awareness, noticing the sounds around you, the couch you're sitting on, the smells, and take this with you as part of who you are. Thank you.
Thank you. The boundaries, the core, how would you protect yourself energetically from uncomfortable energies? I mean, you've just given us something there, but people often, you know, talk about imagining an egg around you or something like that. I mean, does that actually work?
I think it does work for some people, but I don't think it's the highest way of doing it. I think for me that things that are making me uncomfortable are telling me that there is a receptor site inside of me for that discomfort, for whatever it is. It represents something inside of me that needs clearing. And so the easiest and best way to protect yourself is to go to the place inside of you, the origin of what is receiving this less expanded frequency, and offer it healing. And so what is healing really? Awareness is medicine. All we actually have to do is become aware of it, and healing begins. And so as soon as we become aware of the fact that this is the place where I have something going on, automatically it begins to heal, and then you can just fill it with light, and you fill it with light with your intention, with your imagination, which is your canvas. And then the frequencies no longer match. So what it was that was unsettling you has no purchase. It has no place to attach and form agency within you. And so that's really the best way of protecting yourself, is to make your frequency, or to align your frequency with something higher, so that there's something more expanded, is a better way of saying it, so that these lower level things can't impact you. And no, we're not all completely conscious all the time. We're not all perfect, and we're definitely not perfect all the time, and we have a lot of unhealed places. So for me, it's all like, oh great, here I am, I'm learning another place that I get to work. I'm learning.
Earlier, we talked about empaths, and the final chapter of the book is about empaths. Mm-hmm.
You have frozen, Sandy. I'm not sure if I have frozen, but you certainly have.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
That is very weird. We had so many, we had about half a dozen blackouts last night in my village. But so far this morning, everything had been going fine. So I was hoping it would stay fine for this. But let's hope that's the only one. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard all of the question, but you say in your book that there's a danger that empaths face in relating to the world. What is that danger?
So first of all, to back up a little bit, one of the things that I learned working with empaths is that they don't have boundaries. And so I always thought what I needed to do was help these people who are farther along on the empathic spectrum to develop boundaries. And I suddenly realized I had this aha moment, because everybody was suffering from failure. And I realized that I'm asking them to be somebody they're not. I'm asking them to be different than they were made to be. And so I needed to find another way of helping them hold their space. And so I came up with the idea of shelter, that shelter is what will help an empath most. And I think the danger for empaths is, one, that until they really find shelter, they are at the mercy of what they feel around them, and their nervous systems can get really easily overwhelmed. They can end up with physical problems that can be reflective of what the earth is going through herself in these times of great unrest, or what the people around them are going through. And the other thing is that it becomes really easy to think that because you're empathic, that what you feel is the truth, and then you can project your own reality onto other people. I think we just got completely cut off with several minutes to go.
I'm still here.
Oh, good. So did that make sense? Did we get the end of that?
I think we did get the end of it. I won't know for sure, but I think we did. And it certainly made sense to me. I was able to hear it all.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you most want people to take from your book?
Thank you for that. You know, obviously I want to help people access their inner wisdom and feel more empowered in their lives. But the real thing I want people to understand is the power of their perception, that their perception is the creative force that they offer, and how we perceive, you know, all the work that's being done now with microdosing psychedelics, and how it's helping shift people's awareness so they not only experience the world differently, but create a different world. And I think that that point of power, that's where we are right now. That's this crossroads, is understanding that our perceptions and our awareness are the creative force, our co-creative force in the world. And that's what I want to help people access within themselves, is that co-creative force. Shift your perception and shift reality.
You know, more and more, I don't know if this, you're getting a, I'm getting some feedback, so I don't know if it's coming across, but I hope you can hear me. Mm-hmm. More and more we're finding, you know, we're talking so much about energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to be, you know, one of the foremost things that we are beginning to starting to understand, and certainly to become more aware of it. And I've completely lost my thread there. I had something really brilliant to say and it's gone.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, Sandy.
Oh no, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, when you're doing two interviews a week, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that fall out of your ears. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that will come back, because I think it was something worth discussing. In the meantime, tell me about your explorations in energy.
Oh God, that's such a huge subject, you know, in terms of, so are you mean my website?
You've got a new website. Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
What are you doing there?
So Explorations in Energy is a website, explorationsinenergy.com, where I can really give people a lot of information in an easy format. So there is so much information on that website. It's almost a book in itself. And it can take things from the book and explore them a little further and get feedback from people so that we can develop it even more among ourselves. And then I have a blog there that I am only starting. I'm so social media unconscious, but I'm only just starting to really use the blog and have it linked into all these social media outlets. So I'm trying to give people more ways into the information I just think is so important for this time.
Well, when you said that there's enough information there for a book, does that mean there will be another book?
I would love to write another book, but I'll tell you quite honestly, I'm enjoying fiction so much right now that getting down into another technical book, I'm not sure I'm ready for yet, but there is one percolating. I admit there is one percolating and wanting to come out.
When you say you're into fiction, are you reading or are you writing fiction?
Writing. I'm so enjoying writing fiction. Because you can, all of these things you can put forward in a way that is, you know, that people can identify with.
Yeah. Well, don't you just love that, you know, fantasy is so big, because, you know, so much of the magic that we know exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is appearing in fantasy. You know, I think it's just priming us.
It's true, and it's very true. And as a writer, I just love the ability to determine the outcomes.
Yeah, well, I hope you'll let me have a look at it when it's ready.
Absolutely.
Dr. Cynthia Andrews, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you, Sandy. Thank you.
Ah, you're welcome. So if you want to know more about Dr. Cynthia Andrews' work, you can visit her website, where you can also find out more about her book, Subtle Energy Work, Meditative Exercises for Healing, Self-Care and Inner Balance, which is published by New Page Books, an imprint of Red Wheel Weiser. And you can also learn about Dr. Andrews' online courses, her mentoring, her private practice, and all those explorations in energy at the two websites, andrewshealingarts.com and explorationsinenergy.com. And I'm going to dive into that one. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining us today. And I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me. And thank you to Dr. Andrews.
Thank you, Sandy.